So, Sean, I understand that there were some fireworks at our mutual friend Jerry Del Caliano's conference a couple of days ago in Philadelphia, and you were once again the center of the discussion. Could you give us a little bit of a recap for the people reading talkers today that were not there?
Yeah, it was about Nielsen. It's about what I think, especially for spoken word, has been underreporting, and a lot of different issues that we have discussed a lot over the years, and whether or not all platforms are being measured, whether or not talk in particular and spoken word is PPM friendly. That was a big part of the discussion. Also, how do they choose people to be participants and carry the PPM meter? And some people get paid more and they go into some demographics, specific demographic neighborhoods and knock on doors, but not others. I think talk has a particular challenge. I think if you look at a targeted audience for talk radio, higher income neighborhoods, they don't go and knock on people's doors. They pay less money for participants that carry a PPM meter. So different issues that we're trying to resolve. Now, I have been going back and forth with Nielsen on this for a while. We sort of hit an impasse. To their credit, they are trying, but to me, it's too slow. And as I said to them at the conference, I just want these issues resolved. I've had a PPM meter check my show, and for example, with Voltaire, you know, it enhanced my ratings, increased my ratings 90%. That means we're missing way too much of spoken word on PPM, and it's a industry-wide problem that needs to be solved. And I, at the end of it, it turned out okay because they seemed to open the door again to discussing it and really resolving it.
You know, it just seems that talk radio, because it deals with politics, is always on somebody's hit list. And that anytime any ratings go down or anytime there's a blemish or anytime it seems to be going through a dull period, everybody, for their own political perspective, because everybody has a dog in the race, says, ah, talk radio is dead. Talk radio is finished. Look at this. Look at that.
It's just not true. And look, these problems should have been resolved many, many years ago. Listening has shifted. Listening has changed. People listen at work. They listen online. They listen at their convenience on apps. They listen to iHeart. They listen to satellite radio. There's so many different options that really didn't exist a decade ago. People can listen on their iPhones. And we have got to make sure that we insist as an industry, because we pay a lot of money to Nielsen, that we are getting credit for every single listener that is out there. You know, there is, from my perspective, financially, the show is up every year for 11 straight years by double digits in terms of finances. The reason is my advertisers are getting results. For example, I even gave Nielsen credit on the TV side. They're doing a really good job of picking up delayed viewing or DVR viewing, and those numbers come in. And I just think that, for example, in this election year where we have, it's probably maybe the most exciting election year we'll ever have in our lifetime, it's clear that they have picked up the greater interest. But there are stations that have shown no pop whatsoever, and that tells me that they are missing it.
Yeah. Do you think
back in the old diary days, mm-hmm. where, you know, when the lights went out in New York, we saw that pop. When, you know, 9/11 happened, we saw a dramatic increase in ratings. And so I think that in some areas they are missing it, and it's frustrating.
Sean, to what do you attribute this missing? I mean, these people are professional pollsters. They're professional ratings, organization. Nielsen is world famous worldwide, huge corporation. Why do you think this is this lacking is going on?
I think there's three factors that have to really be considered. Number one, if all these stations had pops with Voltaire, that means the actual meter itself probably still needs some tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And I know that they have now lowered the standard in terms of what is considered listening, and they made that very clear in the meeting. So they are trying, and I give them credit for that. I really do. The second thing is panel selection. I mean, you have people that end up in a panel for 2 years, and then 6 months later they can be put back on the panel again. That would be 4 years. Well, if it's not a listener to talk radio or spoken word, that's a big problem for our particular format. So I think something has to be done there. Also, choosing a panelist, they're trying to be aggressive, and they feel that demographics that are underreported need more enticement, so they're paid more. They'll spend time knocking on doors for certain demographics. But I would argue that the average talk listener, if you say it's between 35 and 64, household income $70,000 or $75,000 plus, which would be a target demo because we sell product and move product, I don't think that average person is going to be inclined to carry a meter for next to no money. Even if you offer a financial incentive, I think it's going to be hard for busy people to commit to carrying a meter for, you know, such a long period of time. So that's a problem. So there's certain things that I think need to be done to make sure that, number one, that the meter itself is picking up spoken word the way it should. Number two, that the panelist selection is fair and equitable. And number three, I think we've got to make sure that all platforms are measured and picked up, considering listening patterns have changed.
From what I understand, and I just became really aware of this recently, is that internet listening, online listening, is very, very difficult to measure.
It is.
It's not as, you know, I was under the impression for a while that online, it's, you know, it's very easy to get the numbers. They're specific, whereas over-the-air radio mm-hmm. is kind of mysterious. But I found out that it's just as difficult, if not more difficult. It just makes you wonder whether radio will ever be accurately rated, and it would be nice to see that marketing departments and salespeople and advertising agencies went the extra yard to learn what you said before, results count, and to realize that the nature of the programming indicates the nature of the audience. And it's just obvious that these people have followings and that these people get results. I would just like to see it more qualitative than so much attention paid to numbers that are almost impossible to ascertain.
Now it's almost impossible. I think TV is perhaps is a little bit easier, and I also think that television as an industry has been far more aggressive in demanding greater accuracy than, say, the radio industry.
So what was it that you said? I don't know whether it was just for, you know, a little spark or whether you meant it. I hear that you said that you would not sign a class action suit, or you would, if they would sign that,
you know,
they would. What was
I
that?
I probably
about?
Very stupidly, you know, at some point said that there's a class action suit, you know, out there, and it was more of a throwaway.
That's what I thought.
Out of frustration, probably.
That's what I thought.
And I said I would sign an agreement not to, only because I just want to resolve the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not looking for credit for people that don't listen to my show. All I'm looking for is an accurate accounting of those people that do listen.
Well,
and I can tell you, I have zero doubt spoken word is very underreported.
By stepping out in a leadership role in this, Sean, you're doing a favor and you're doing a service to everybody in this industry. And because you are so high profile and such a success as you are, when you open your mouth and you discuss this as intelligently and as informed as you are, you're doing a service to the industry.
Well, I appreciate it. Look, you know what? There's too much at stake here, and the argument that I've made I can argue and just walk away and not rock the boat, and I could say, okay, my show's up financially double digits for all these years. Great, I'm doing fine. But here's the problem, and you have experienced this, and everybody in radio will understand what I'm about to say. I've been traveling the country, and I've been doing my show on remote for many of my affiliates, and what were once vibrant radio stations, newsrooms, exciting places to be, are now becoming ghost towns. It used to be that every radio station had a promotions director, had a program director, an assistant program director, a general manager, a big sales staff. I can't tell you how many radio stations I now go to, and there's like all empty office space and nobody's there.
Wow.
And to me, it's sad. There used to be a time in radio where if somebody I knew lost a job, I could make 3 or 4 phone calls in a day and probably successfully help them find, at least get another interview. We're at the point where, because we have not been vigilant about accuracy in reporting, and that has resulted in lower ratings and lower revenue, you know, all these people have lost their jobs, that, and they're not going to be coming back. And to me, that's the shame of it all, and the vibrancy and relevancy of radio gets diminished in the process. I still know radio works. My advertisers know it works. My listeners know it works.
Yeah, there's no doubt it works. And it has to be, what you're saying is true, and I remain cautiously optimistic that there can be a renaissance and that there can be a revival.
Well, we can. I mean, but it's a sad thing. I mean, you know, formats are being flipped, Michael, for the very reason that one musical format tends to be more PPM friendly than another.
Yeah.
And for no other reason.
Yeah. And when you realize, the system is flawed, when you realize this.
Look, for Nielsen's credit at the meeting, and in the past, we kind of hit an impasse recently, but we've had a couple of meetings. I just asked that they open themselves up to a willingness to listen to what other people are saying. I have paid for my own tests that prove that PPM is not Sean Hannity show friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we use enhancements for my voice, it actually raises ratings as high as 90%. That's a doubling of my ratings.
It's crazy. No, I hear you, and I believe this totally. So it's a good point. Now, listen, in conclusion, this conversation will obviously continue. You and I are going to have a fireside chat in the morning of Friday, May 20th.
I know it's going to be at Hofstra close to my house. I'm really excited.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about this. But you know what else I want to talk to you about? And I want you to be prepared. You said something very interesting in this conversation, that this has been the most exciting political election of our lifetime. And I want to get some insights from you of just what you've learned, and what we're learning as an industry from this, and also just on a human interest level, how much fun you must be having. Let me ask you now: Are you having a good time with this?
You know what? I live for this every 4 years. I really do. I just hope at the end the result is good. I'd like to see America change course a little bit. Compared to Nielsen, the government's doing infinitely worse, and I hate to see the country I love in a bit of a decline, and I hope we can reverse it.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you at Hofstra on May 20th, and thanks for taking the time this morning to join us here in the Talkers Forum.
Thanks, Michael. Always enjoy it. Thank you, sir.